that the words we say are true, that the God we serve is real. Share your faith, share the peace and joy you know, share the light. In a world of darkness, share the truth that can set all people free. Be the love of Christ. Let him live in you and me. As the ones who've gone joy you know, share the light. In a world of darkness, share the truth that can set all people free. Be the love of Christ. Let him live in you and me. Share your faith, share the peace and joy you know, share the light. In a world of darkness, share the truth that can set all people free. Be the love of Christ. Let him live in you and me.
Turn again, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Last week we were looking at verses 1 and 2, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And today we come to the topic of spiritual gifts, and this topic is addressed in other passages of Scripture as well, but we're just going to be looking at the ones that are listed here in Romans chapter 12, and not all of them. Maybe God hasn't called you to be a missionary to a foreign country, but every believer is given a spiritual gift, and God has given us gifts so that we might use them to minister for Him. 1 Corinthians tells us that these gifts are given for us to edify or to build up each other in the Lord. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the 7 spiritual gifts that are listed here, and we might need to get it jump started back there, Brother Ray. It's not working on my, if you'll hit the down arrow, we'll get it started there. And so we're going to look at the 7 spiritual gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12. And I'll say just a few things about each one of those. But as a way of introduction, and I don't know, I'm going to have you to help me, Brother Ray, there. If you'll go to the down arrow one more time, and then maybe it'll start working here. It's not working when I try to move it. So I'll need you to do each point for me if you'll follow along. I'll try to help you with that. The consecration of the gifts, first of all, as we look there. We want to see these gifts in verses 1 and 2 where we were last week. The consecration of the gift, that we give our bodies to the Lord, we give our gifts to the Lord, and this shows us our attitude towards God. Are you not able to get that to go down, Brother Ray? There it goes. Okay, the consecration of the gifts there, and then the next one also is humility with the gifts. And so this is our relationship to ourselves. In verses 3 it says that I, through the grace given to me, that every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And so as we're using these gifts for the Lord, we realize that they are gifts from God. And so we consecrate them to God, because it's not anything that I have or that I can do. And so I look to myself, as verse 3 says, not to think above ourselves, but how we ought to think. And we are to think as a servant, because that's why God has given us these spiritual gifts there. He says the measure of faith in verse 3. That word measure is the word we get our English word metric from, system of measurements. And God has measured out to us spiritual gifts. And he's given each one of us a different gift. And we're going to see how they all work together for the body as we proceed. And then also the relationship to others is in verses 4 and 5. It says, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another there. And so now we see the relationship, our attitude towards others and the gifts that we have. And so God has given us this gift, whether it's the gift of teaching, the gift of showing mercy, or all of these gifts. And so we can't get the third one down, Brother Ray, there. I'm sorry we're having trouble with this PowerPoint. I really want you to see this, because I've got several things here for you. If each time, if you'll just hit the down arrow there for me. Is it not working? Okay. Or clicking or something to get the next one there. All right. So here's our introduction here. As we look at the spiritual gifts, we have our attitude towards God concerning our spiritual gift, our attitude towards self, and also our attitude towards others. And so as we look at these, I'm going to try it one more time and see if this is working. I think I'm going to give up on this and see what's wrong with this. We're going to look at three parts of each one of these gifts. First of all, we're going to look at the weakness of each spiritual gift. Then we're going to look at, well, the meaning first, and then the weakness, and then the command. So the first one is prophecy. And the word prophecy means to foretell or to tell forth. And so God has given to some people this gift of prophecy. And it doesn't mean predicting the future. And so here, the weakness that a person has, and we sometimes when you're looking at people's strengths and weaknesses, if you're interviewing them for a job, you want to know strengths and weaknesses. Somebody called me this week about someone that used to be with us doing an interview and wanting to know the strengths and weaknesses. Well, the weakness of this particular gift is that they can tend to have a lack of love, because it's the prophet. And as the prophet in the Old Testament would say, thus saith the Lord there. And he is hard against sin. This is the way. You walk in it. You do this. You don't stray from it. And so the prophet is very firm in speaking out God's word. But the command is given in verse 9. There we go. We're getting these down now. We'll go down to the next one, if you will, to the command. If you notice in this passage of Scripture, and all of these seven spiritual gifts, there is a verse that's connected to the one. So these are not just random verses. I believe that these verses from 9 on, each verse corresponds back to a spiritual gift. And so the command that God has given to the person who has his gift of love, gift of prophecy, is to let love be without dissimulation, that is, without pretense. And so the prophet who has that strong stand against sin, and of course we all should be against sin, and you'll understand that all of these gifts that we might have some of these as characteristics of our lives, but God has given to each one of us at least one of these gifts that really stands out. And so to the one who has this gift of prophecy, who takes a strong stand against sin, he says, in taking your strong stand against sin, make sure that you don't stand against people, that you love people, that you continue, as it says in verse 9, to abhor that which is evil. And so, prophet, take a strong stand against sin. Hate the sin, but make sure that you're cleaving to good, that you're letting love be genuine and real, and that you don't lose sight of loving people while you are taking a strong stand against sin. And we need to do that, don't we? We need to take a strong stand against sin, but we need to love people. Well, the second spiritual gift is the gift of ministry, as verse 7 calls it. That's the word for deacon. And so the meaning here is just to serve. And there are many ways we can serve God. We can serve God by helping out in the basketball tournament, refereeing. We can serve God by cooking or by cleaning up the nursery or working in the nursery. I mean, we can go on and on and on, just serving. And you think about a job description. What is a job description for a servant? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Whatever needs to be done. And that's what we are. We're servants. But God has given to some people a special gift of serving. They just like doing things for other people. One of you did that. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I came home from school one day this week and went home, and on my front porch was a bag from Piggly Wiggly, and it had in it, I think, 8 cans of chicken noodle soup, a bag of tangerines, and a bag of Ricola cough, because I had been sick, and with a nice little card in there. What a ministry of service, of encouragement, and what a blessing that was there. And so there are a lot of things we can do, and it tells the person the command here in this one. Well, let me look at the weakness first. The weakness of a servant is sometimes a servant can get tired of serving. You ever feel that way? Sometimes you get tired of serving. About time for me to be served now for a while. I'm getting tired of serving others. Well, the word means deacon means servant, but sometimes a person can think that that deacon is a position of power, but it's not. Deacon is a position of service. And so the command to this person is in verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Instead of getting in that position of the flesh where now I want to be served, I want to continue serving, being kindly affectioned. Someone wrote this: if you're not very kind, you're not very spiritual. You think about that for a minute. Now, a person can be kind and not even be saved, but you can't be spiritual without being kind. The Bible tells us to be kind one to another. And here, this area of ministry is showing kindness to someone. And there are many, many different ways that you can use that gift if God has given you the gift of ministry and serving other people. The third gift is that of teaching. The word means to communicate truth. And there are some people that God has given this gift of teaching, being able to take the truth of God's word and communicate it to help people to understand. And the Bible says pastors need to be having a gift of teaching, teaching the word of God. And so the weakness here for the teacher, if they get into the flesh, then they can think that he's a know-it-all there. See if we can move forward on this one to the teaching there. We've seen the meaning and the weakness, and now the command as we go down to teaching is in verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So the teacher can have a tendency, if he's not careful, to say, my job is to teach, and other people are to do it. And that's not the case. All of us as Christians, we're supposed to be doing the work of the Lord together. And so he says, be fervent in spirit. And so in my many years here at the school, see first-year teachers come in. And one of the things about first-year teachers, of course, they don't have any experience. That's why they're first-year teachers, you understand. But they come in and they have a fervent spirit. I mean, they're ready to set the world on fire. You know, they're out of college and they're going to make a difference. And that's wonderful. And so what he's saying is, as we get older in the Lord, let's don't lose that fervent spirit of taking the gospel. Let's don't lose that fervent spirit of ministering to other people. And so the command, he says, not slothful in business, fervent in Lord in spirit, serving the Lord. And so as we serve others, we're really serving the Lord, aren't we? Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And so when we have that attitude in mind, it helps us to see that I'm really serving the Lord. The fourth gift is the gift of exhortation. The meaning of the word means to comfort, or literally to call alongside. It's the same word used of the comforter in John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. And there are some people that God has given this gift of comforting others. And there's a weakness to this gift as well. And the weakness here is that this person can have a tendency to become a nuisance. Now, let's just be honest with each other. Have you ever been going through a lot of problems and you hear people say over and over, all things work together for good. There's a reason for this. And you ever get to, if another person tells me that, I'm going to clobber them. You ever get in the flesh and feel that way? Well, sometimes people that are trying to be encouragers, they keep saying that over and over again. And in our minds, we know that. But say, well, I don't want to hear that anymore. And so what is the command to this particular person who has the gift? It's in verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope. The person who is the encourager and comforting wants to see the comfort come right away. And so there has to be a waiting. So it says not only rejoicing in hope, but being patient in tribulation. Yes, it's true. All things work together for good. And there's a reason. And it's going to be better in the end. But we got to be patient as we wait for that to come there. And he goes on to say, continuing instant in prayer. I know that you pray for me. And one of the things that that does for me as your pastor, when I know you're praying for me, when you're continuing instant in prayer, it's such an encouragement and such a blessing to me, because I need God's prayers. I can't do what God has called me to do apart from the Holy Spirit empowering me, and you're praying for me, because it's encouraging whenever you are faithful in the Lord. Number five, the next gift is giving. We're going through these pretty quickly, I understand, but we're just going to highlight them this morning. The gift of giving, that word giving means to share with. He says giving with simplicity, not having an ulterior motive for our giving. Now, the weakness in the person who has this gift of giving is usually they like to give to big projects. They want to see buildings, you know, going up. They want to see big events, you know, because they want to see results from the investments that they're putting in. So look at the command that the Scripture gives to this one in verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. And so to the person who has the gift of giving, God says it's not about projects and buildings and programs. It's about people. It's giving to the necessity of the saints, those are believers, and then showing hospitality. Those are strangers, those that don't know the Lord. And so as we are giving, we're giving to the Lord. Give, Luke 6:38 says, and it shall be given unto you. And so as we give to the Lord, we're giving to people, we're realizing I'm using this gift of giving to serve the Lord. Number six, the gift of ruling. The gift of ruling, that word means to stand over. And here's the authoritarian. And he stands over and he has the authority. And sometimes the weakness here is that person can appear not to have very much heart. This person, if he's an employer, it's not too hard for him to fire somebody, you know. You've heard the saying, you know, shape up or ship out. It's my way or the highway. You've heard that? Well, this is the ruler here. So what does God say to the person who has this gift? Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And so this person gets a lot of cursing. He stands over and he's authority and he's a ruler, you know, and he lays down the law and he gets a lot of cursing. Now the word curse in this verse doesn't have anything to do with four-letter words. It just means wishing evil on someone, wishing somebody ruin there. And so he says to this person who has the gift, oh, there may be some people who don't like the way you're ruling over them. And so what should you do? You should bless them. Bless and don't wish them evil. And then we come to the last one, the gift of showing mercy or compassion here for somebody who has a need. Usually it's because of some misfortune that they've had. The weakness in this particular gift is a person can be so merciful, and even the misfortune that a person has might be because they've committed a sin. And it's easy for this person who is showing mercy to kind of overlook the sin and even condone the sin in showing mercy. So the verse that the Lord gives here is verse 15. He says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep." And I found, and you probably found as well, it's easier to weep with people who weep, isn't it? I mean, if they start crying, you see somebody crying, you know, it's like yawning. You see somebody yawn, and then you want to yawn. There, you see somebody crying, and it kind of is contagious, and you start crying as well. Rejoicing with somebody who's rejoicing, sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's not. If you're working with someone, and you're both up for a promotion, and your coworker gets the promotion, and you think you are more qualified, is it easy to rejoice with that person? Not so easy, is it, you know, because you felt like that should have been mine, my award, my recognition. And so the scripture says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Well, as a way of illustration, we're going to look at all of these together. Now, we're going to be having our missions banquet in a little bit. We're going to be around the table here. And imagine that at one of the tables, somebody spills something. They trip over the chair. They knock over the table. Food goes everywhere. And if this happens, you'll say, I have the gift of prophecy, I should guess. But as we look at this, how do the seven different people with the seven different gifts respond? Well, first of all, the prophet. He stands up and says, I told you not to set it there. You need to learn to listen to me. If you do what I say, this won't happen, you know. And he's going to be bold, and he's going to speak that. But the minister, the servant says, I'll clean it up for you. And then the teacher. Well, the teacher says, you can prevent this from happening, you know, if you'll just learn to, you know, you can't set this glass on the edge of the fork or it's going to turn over, you know. And they start giving all these instructions. And then the exhorter says, there's a purpose for this. And all things happen for good. And then the giver says, I'll buy you a new bowl. I'll buy you a new glass. I'll buy you a new whole kitchen set. Whatever you need, I'll get it for you. And the ruler, you know, says, you know, you get the paper towels and you get the trash can. You get the mop and you get it all together. You know, and then the person who shows mercy just goes over and hugs and says, I'm so sorry. It'll be all right, you know. And so here we see all of these spiritual gifts that God has given to each of us. And each one has their own purpose. But notice it says in this passage, as we come down to verse 16, he says, be of the same mind, one toward another. And so now we see what all these spiritual gifts are, and now we want to see about using these gifts. And so if you'll give me another 5 or 6 minutes, we'll get through this. I know you're pretty accustomed to my stopping right at noon, but I'm going over a little bit today because I want you to see how to use the spiritual gifts. God has given us these gifts, and we now know what they mean, and maybe you've been able to identify one or two or maybe more spiritual gifts that God has given to you. So in verse 16, as we use these spiritual gifts, we need to be able to use them with a parallel mindset. In verse 16, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. And so the gift of mercy, the gift of prophecy, I mean, all of us were working towards the same unit. And the purpose of the spiritual gifts is to edify. And so your gift may be different than mine, and God hasn't made all of us the eye, as 1 Corinthians talks about, else there would be no hearing. Or if everybody were the ear, there wouldn't be any seeing. And so God has given us all different spiritual gifts to use. And verse 16 says, and condescend to men of low estate there. And we realize that we are in a partnership. We have a partnership mentality that all of us together are working to edify, to build up the body of Christ. And then verse 17, he says, recompense to no man, evil for evil. God says that vengeance is mine. I will repay. And so we need to have that compassion. And so we see someone who may be involved in a sin. Our responsibility is to try to edify them and to build them up. And then in verse 17, there's a presentation mindset. We do this in the sight of all men. Now, we know we do it in the sight of God, too, because He sees all of this. But as we minister our spiritual gifts, we do it with the right purpose. So when we do it in the sight of men, they see I'm not doing this to get glory for myself. I'm doing this to edify, to build up another believer in Christ. And then in verse 18, God loves peace and unity. And He says, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men there. And so we do it with a peaceful mindset. And so whether God has given me the gift of showing mercy, the gift of teaching, the gift of prophecy, or the gift of any spiritual gift, God wants me to use it to bring about peace in the body of Christ. Verse 19, patient mindset. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.'" And so we're patient. We allow God's working. If there is punishment to be done to a fellow believer because of his getting out of tune from the will of God, God will take care of that. He's a child of God. And we know from Hebrews that God disciplines His children that walk unruly. And our responsibility is to try to edify and minister and be patient. And then two more. There's a positive mindset in verse 20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And so we don't stop ministering just because we don't see the result that we want, or we don't see the result in the timing that we want. God has commanded each one of us to use the spiritual gifts that He's given to us. And they are used to exalt the Lord first and foremost, and to edify others. And then verse 21, as the chapter closes out, we do it with a pleasant mindset. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." There's a lot of evil in the world. There's even a lot of evil within the church. And how do we overcome that in our own lives and in the lives of other believers? By using the gifts that God has given to us for good, for edification, for building up. And whenever we use those gifts that God has given to us, even though one may be totally different from the other, and of course all of our personalities are different as well, God takes all of those things as the body of Christ and He works them together for good. Verse 5 says, "So we, being many, were one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us." And then He goes on and He tells us what these gifts are and how we use them to honor the Lord and to build up and encourage each other in the faith. Let's pray.